What's up, you guys? I'm B. Simone.
And I'm Megan Ashley.
And welcome to the Know For Sure podcast, where we talk about healing, growing, evolving, and having the tough conversations.
Yes, and we also talk about relationships, not just romantic relationships, but platonic relationships.
Like the relationship I have with my best friend, Megan Ashley, of 20 years.
20 years, baby.
Yes, baby. Do you know for sure?
I think I know for sure, but what I do know for sure is after this episode, you're going to know something for sure.
Do you want to open us up in prayer
before we start?
Please.
Yeah. Holy Spirit, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, God.
For being present. You're smarter than all three of us combined. You're smarter than anybody in this house combined. So we give this to you. This episode is yours, just like yes, every God. Episode is yours. And we ask you to lead us and guide us into all truth. The truth has a name. His name is Yeshua. In the States, we call him Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
In the States,
he said you are smarter than us idiots.
All of us.
All of us combined. And that was a perfect intro to the Know For Sure podcast. Tim Ross.
Anything dope coming out of my mouth, I'm sure it was him.
I'm
reckless.
100%.
Yeah, I'm reckless. So I don't even want to deal with it.
I'm not that bright. It was God.
What's up, KFS fam? It's your girl, B. Simone.
And I'm Megan Ashley.
And we have a guest with us today. But first, y'all already know what it is. We're back. Yeah.
I love when a guest can just
jump in.
We don't have to ask.
What?
You guys, we have... He is an incredible man. Our brother, uncle, cousin,
homie,
mentor,
friend.
Counselor,
all of it.
Preacher, pastor, apostle.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
He said, I'm not all that. I just met y'all.
You will be. This is Tim Ross, you
Tim
guys.
Tim Ross,
I love y'all.
So basement dwellers, welcome.
Yeah. What's up, y'all? Come on over here.
Absolutely. Let's welcome. Go. I'm down for the
cross-pollination.
Yes. You know what I mean? I need them dwellers to chain gang. I need the chain gang to dwell. Let's go.
Yeah. The chain gang to dwell.
Yeah.
There's something in that.
Yeah,
you know, my marketing mind is going.
All right.
That's a tab on a website.
I feel that.
If you want to dwell with chain gang.
If you want to dwell with chain gang, I love that.
Yeah,
the dwellers and chain gang. Yeah. I am so excited for this conversation because I have been following Tim, probably seeing your content, probably when you first start. I mean, because your podcast blew up out of
quick. I said, I have to follow him because it's on my
timeline,
algorithm.
Just Tim.
I'm following
you.
Damn it. Dad on glasses. Leave
me alone. Hey, that's hilarious.
You know how it comes up on your timeline now? Not your explore page. It's on your timeline. It's like, do you want to follow? I'm like, I guess.
Because he won't leave me alone.
I keep watching him.
Oh, that's funny.
We are so thankful that you're here. We literally asked you to come, like,
It's okay. All good.
It's okay.
It's
keep right. going. Keep
it's
going.
All good.
It's all right.
She's like, whoa.
It's just a tree falling. At least not a wig.
It's fine.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, I remember that too.
Yeah, that was hilarious. When she said, nigga. I said,
it was a whole moment. And she embraced it.
She embraced it.
She just owned it.
I loved it.
Yeah,
her response was perfect.
It was so good.
It was. Exactly. What else could you say?
It's nigga.
Can we find that clip?
That is the best response ever. But we are so thankful that you came. And we asked you, like, literally days ago.
It feels like it was, like, 72 hours ago.
Literally.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like,
it was
ask
that
me
fast.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
But his response was, because I had posted something.
Yeah.
And you were with our pastor, Darius Daniels. Dr. Darius Daniels, PD. Who is our pastor at Change Church in Atlanta. And you did a podcast with him, an episode with him for your...
Yeah, for the basement.
I can't even
That's going to be crazy. What?
I can't even
wait.
Dude's
brilliant.
He's brilliant.
I have a high school diploma. So when he talks, I'd be like,
it's like...
I just shut up.
And have a dictionary ready because the words he uses is
It's wild.
You can
I know most of them words, though.
You do? Okay.
I only have a high school diploma, but I live with a dictionary.
Okay, well, I don't know half the words he says sometimes. Some of them I do and some of them I don't. But when I saw that, I was like, oh man, like, it's time to get Tim Ross on the pod.
Yeah.
And Tim responded and said, ask and you shall receive. And then so I DM'd him. I'm like, yo, what's up? And here we are, just less than a week later, I feel like. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe a week later. Yeah, you just made it happen.
Yeah.
Thank you so
much. You don't live in Atlanta. You done came out.
He flew out. Dallas,
Texas. D-Town, stay down. Y'all know 214-469-972. Period. Pleasant Grove. Brooklyn to St. Augustine. What's up? Graduated from Skyline 08.
Skyline, let's go! That's Dallas. That's the most Dallas representation you could ever get.
We had metal detectors.
Oh, for sure.
I came from Gahanna and went to Skyline. Yeah. I was scared.
Yeah, you had to be.
I was like, so if y'all have metal detectors, that means someone's bringing in metal.
There's some clink clink going up in here.
What? Yeah, the hood.
They could have had an active shooter. LA. Yeah, okay. Inglewood.
So you are like real LA.
Not Inglewood, like, always up to no good. Oh Lord.
Real LA.
LA, but yeah, my dad worked for the US Postal Service for 33 years. Mom worked for the LAPD for 30 years.
Wow.
My oldest brother founded a gang in LA.
Wow.
Please tell her the story of you trying to be in a gang. Please.
I was in a gang for 7 days. Because my brother was an OG. We didn't have to get. I didn't have to get jumped in. I got walked in. I got walked into the gang, right? And I was like, yeah.
I was like, yeah, nigga.
You know what I mean? I'm down, nigga. And they was like, hey, cuz, why you still going to school, nigga? You need to hang out with us. I was like, oh no, I have show choir. I don't know. We're learning a new step for the Fullerton Jazz Festival.
I have a show coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. Shake down, break down. Like I had a choreography that I had to learn. And then I was like, and then my dad will spank me with a belt.
I'm not getting whooped.
So I can't. And then it was like, nigga, hit this weed. I was like, I can't come home smelling like this and beer tastes nasty. So, 7 day, nigga, bye. It was like,
what did you think? What did you think you were walking into? A brotherhood?
Literally. The nigga's my brother. So, yes, I thought it was a brotherhood. 7 days later, they was like, this nigga's not gangster material. So, here's what I realized.
Oh, my God.
I can't like stand on the corner and like rep a neighborhood I don't own any property in. Like 100%. I don't have a title deed and all that kind of stuff. And then the colors were made in Mexico, but we hanging them out our back pocket.
Crazy.
And then being like, nigga, what? But what I did realize in a very frightening way is that I would kill a nigga if I needed to.
Ooh, wow.
And my brother, that played out because my brother wound up turning on his gang in a family dispute.
Wow.
So he turned on his own set.
Mm.
And as a result, our lives was in danger because he went into hiding.
Wow.
And one day we were over my friend's house and his cousin's an OG from the same gang. And they heard me and my younger brother Miles were at the house.
Wow.
So we're inside playing Nintendo.
Kicking it.
Right? And in LA, the window's open like this.
Mm.
Right? And so the window was kind of like halfway open like this. And we hear arguing outside. And we're like, what are they arguing about? So we go to the window. The BGs in the set is arguing with the OG about if they can kill us when we leave the house.
Ooh.
They're literally talking about our lives like we was ordering lunch. Like, do you want an acai bowl or eggs or fruit? Or I don't want that. I want a grain bowl. Like, they was talking about
it.
They was talking about our lives, though. Like, we could kill these niggas right now. If we can't find this nigga, we smoke these niggas right now.
Wow.
It's been too long, nigga. Expiration's up. Da-da-da-da. He's like, nah, cuz, we ain't doing all that right now. It ain't that time yet, though. And we at the door. I'm a teenager. And I'm like
playing Nintendo.
These niggas are talking about my life.
It's not funny, but for sure.
Crazy.
It's
like
they're talking about my life right now. Not a sandwich. Like, nigga, I told you not to put turkey
on my like BLT bologna. For sure.
These niggas talking about my life. And so at some point we gotta walk out. We walk past them, like, yeah, nigga, y'all know what's up. Better tell that nigga to get at us. Cause we know where you live.
Mm.
So we walking home. And as we was walking home, I was just like, I'm not doing this no more. I'm not gonna do this no more. I didn't tell nobody except me. I'm not doing this no more.
That point.
So I called the homie.
Ooh, so funny.
And I told him, I said, I need a gun. He gave me a 45. And I made up in my mind to nobody else but myself. The next nigga that rolls up on me,
is it?
I'm popping him.
Wow.
And it was as casual as I'm talking to y'all now.
Wow.
Next nigga that rolls up, I'm popping him. Because I'm not going to be doing no, is this the day type stuff, right?
It's about to be today.
You said, I know the time and the hour when I see you. And if you say something
on site, like, on site was before on site was a word, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? Right. I had made up that mind. Do you know within, I'll say 45 days of that thought entering my mind.
Jesus.
My parents had sold our house that they never put a for sale sign in front of. Jesus. We never knew it was up for sale.
Jesus.
And moved 66 miles away to Apple Valley.
Thank you, God.
In the high desert, 2 hours from Las Vegas.
Thank you, God.
And I thought to myself, that had to be God. I wasn't even serving him. I'm like, you knew I was going to kill a nigga.
Oh my God.
I'd have caught a body. And the Lord was like, you can go. No 60, one's following you 70 miles away.
They're not just about to mess with you in Applewood. Or wherever you can go there.
Right? The home of Roy Rogers, right?
Lord.
So that's what.
How old were you?
18.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I moved my senior year. Moved my senior year.
And what was your brother? I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
Did he end up moving with y'all? Or where was your brother?
My older brother?
The one that was hiding.
He was still hiding.
Still doing his
ghost. He was ghost.
Okay.
So I didn't even know I had environmental trauma until I was in therapy. Years later.
Oh.
Because I was sexually abused at the age of 8 by a teenage boy that lived across the street from me for like a 6-month period of time.
Wow.
Found out later he had sexually molested everybody on the block, including my younger brother.
Wow.
Right. So we were living in the same house, didn't know till I was 15, he was 14.
Wow. Lord.
So, and we were going to kill that nigga too. Like, we planned to kill him. Like,
wow.
And I'm just thinking about this now, like, I was about to kill a lot of niggas. Like, well, not a lot. I can tell two for sure, right? Some other niggas I just dreamed about. Like, I put a rusty fork in your trachea, but this nigga need to die. So, but what happened with him was
God, he is hilarious. But this one needs to die.
I'll put a rusty fork in your trachea. Yeah.
I'm specific.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah. The dude that sexually molested us went to jail for an unrelated charge.
Mm.
When he got out, his parents had like a coming home party for him.
Not a coming home party.
You're like, all right, let's go raid this party.
So literally, we were like, we're going to kill this nigga when he get home.
Yeah.
Like, it was so like, matter of fact, but we just went and got like the sharpest knives in my mom's like drawer. It wasn't like no like Rambo knife and a switchblade and it was like this Ginsu knife should work. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's sharp. It's going through those tomatoes quite smoothly. It should go to this nigga's side here. This side meat should open up. Here. It should fillet nice, is what I'm saying. I'm not going for the bony part. I'm going for this soft tissue around the belly, right?
He said this should work fillet nicely.
It should work. Yeah. It should go right over.
It should.
Went through a watermelon rind. It should go through this nigga's behind, right? So,
for some people, eating is an emotional experience. So when it comes to managing your weight, it makes sense that Noom has taken a psychology-based approach. Noom uses science and personalization so you can manage your weight for the long term. Noom's psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Based on sample 4,272 Noomers, 98% say that Noom helped them change their habits and behaviors for good. Noom's personalized courses are easy to follow and will help grow your confidence with tools you can put into practice on day one. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
We have our knives.
We this go is in- so not funny, but it's hilarious.
This is
he's like, this is my life.
This is my life. So we walk out to the middle of the street and we see him and we call him over.
Jesus.
And he runs over
like we friends.
Happy, right?
Ooh.
And he's like, yo, it's, oh my God, y'all have grown up so much.
Oh my God.
It's so good to see y'all.
Oh my God.
And I'm, now, for me, I'm a justice person, mm-hmm. right? Like it's,
yeah.
I only got in one fight in high school, and it was because one of my dear friends, who I played games with all the time, kept teasing our substitute teacher in a wheelchair till she cried. Mm. And then I mollywhopped him. Like, I had to. Like, there was no, like.
Enough. Like, don't be mean.
You can't stop. Be
don't
mean.
Don't be a bully.
Like, yeah.
You can't do that.
Don't do that.
I got to stop that. So, I'm like, you know what you did. And so, since you know what you did, you got to die. Right? And then whatever happens after that, we'll just deal with it. And he comes out and he's like, it's so good to see y'all. And I'm looking in his eye. Like, I'm looking for guilt. I'm looking for, like, nigga, wow. You know what you did.
Wow.
Just
wow.
Show it.
Yeah.
And I never saw it in his eyes.
Wow.
And Miles, my younger brother, we're 17 months apart. Miles kept looking at me like, nigga, you
when
go,
you
I
ready,
go.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Ooh, yeah. Lord.
And I just remember he starts having this conversation, so how's school and all this and that. And I kept looking. I'm like, and I realized genuinely, this nigga has no idea clue. What he did to us.
How old were you?
15.
Okay. No, yeah. Not when he did it. I'm saying when this happened.
15.
Okay.
I was 8 when he
abused
me.
Sorry. Okay.
I was 15 when we confronted him, right?
Okay.
I'm looking at his eyes. I'm like, this nigga has no idea what he did.
Okay.
And so I'm like, I looked at Miles. And I was just like, mm-mm.
Thank you, Jesus. Mm-mm. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-mm.
And we kind of just finished the conversation. And then we walked back in the house. And like Miles and I, we never talked about it again.
Ever again.
Wow.
But like, we were going to stab that dude to death in the middle of the street.
In the middle of broad daylight.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
At his welcome home party.
I have that Frank Lucas energy. American Gangster.
You're like, if I would have started it, it would have been a
yeah.
I don't have no problems at all.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
do you feel like your hatred for not hatred for him, but do you feel like it?
Wow.
Made you want to pursue more justice when you found out that he also did it to Miles?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, for sure.
Like it wasn't just about you. Justice for you.
Yeah. Well, it stopped when my older brother caught him in the bed with the next door neighbor.
Jesus.
That's when it stopped. And that was years after me.
Jesus.
So I realized that like the neighborhood boys had taken this collective side of silent relief.
Wow.
Cause he wasn't going to be
around anymore.
Perpetrating Train that in. No more. Cause once my older brother found out, he had to stop or else
he would have
got bodied.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I didn't tell my parents cause I thought I was gonna lose my family.
Why did you think that?
Because my dad would have killed him. My brother would have buried him. My mom would have had heartbreak. And then we would have been like either in the foster system or living with some relatives. Mm-hmm. So.
Wow.
That's what kept me silent all those years.
Wow.
But I did. Wow. I went to school and pursued administration of justice because I wanted to be in law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that justice thing was in me.
Yeah, still in you.
But I wanted to. Specifically, my goal was to be a homicide detective. That's what I went to school for. That's what my...
Wow.
I never been drunk in my life, never smoked weed in my life, because I knew two detectives was going to go back to kindergarten and work their way up through my life, and I didn't want them to find nothing on me.
Wow.
So I was a legalist, like a real legalist,
because
I thought I was going to be in law enforcement.
Wow.
And then I gave my life to Jesus and started preaching, and did that for 27 years.
What brought you to that, giving your life to Christ and like shifting?
Yeah, so I was in the back of my parents' church. My parents bivocationally pastored a church. Mm-hmm. So they never, the church never supported them to do it full time. Mm-hmm. They worked and then they did church on the weekends. I was 20. I still lived in their house. And so I figured I should go to church because I still live in their house. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Just be appreciative. And I would drive them to church because they were still pastoring the church from the hood we moved from, even though we moved like 70 miles away. Wow. So we drove back every weekend on Sundays to this location, right? So I was in the back of the church. You know, I usually, Saturday, Sunday morning, I usually get home like 5 a.m., sleep for like 2.5 hours and drive in the church. And then get picked up by the homies, go to Venice Beach, stay at Venice Beach till 6, eat at either M&M's or Doolin's Soul Food Restaurant. Round 8, we already cruising Crenshaw. Mm-hmm. And we cruise Crenshaw till like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm trying to smash anybody that's going to let me. I'm on.
Out there.
I'm on niggas next.
You, out there.
Come here. You, come here.
Come here.
I'm going to ask you one question. Depending on how you answer, it's on.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
That Sunday morning, I'm in church. Sunday school just ended. I've dropped them off. You know, they're getting ready. Blah, blah. Morning worship is about to start. I'm sitting in the back of the church so I can do what I do at every church service, which is laugh at the people that speak in tongues and write raps. Because I rapped as well. I was a freestyle battle rapper, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like if y'all have seen Harry Styles, the dude that be freestyling, the white dude that be doing mm-hmm. Harry Mack. Mm-mm. Y'all haven't seen Mm-mm. him. Y'all got to pull him up.
Okay.
The dude's a dope, mm-hmm. like legit freestyler.
Okay.
That's all I used to do. So I'm in the back of the church and the Holy Spirit, I ain't never heard the Holy Spirit in my life.
Wow.
Maybe I did when I was like 9, but I didn't know. But the Holy Spirit just says to me, "You're a sinner." Just like that. The most matter-of-fact statement, like, "You got a New York hat." It wasn't like, "You got on a New York hat."
Yeah.
"Can't believe you." Yeah. "You about to bust hell wide open." "That ain't even the niggas' colors." Right? It wasn't like that. Like, it was literally like,
"That ain't even their colors." It's
like, "You got yourself an interpretation hat." You got yourself your hat too creative to be in New York. Nigga.
So y'all in my hat. So, leave my hat alone.
But it was this matter of fact statement, like, "You got on a God bless sweater," right? Mm. And so when he said it, was the first time I was even aware that I was disconnected from God. Mm-hmm. I could feel the disconnection. Mm. And then I was like, "I need to give my life to Jesus right now." Like, right.
It was an urgency.
Wow.
Oh my God. And this is a Pentecostal church. Service just started. I was at least 3.5 years, hours away. Right. Felt like years. Yeah. Away from salvation. I'm like, "Nigga, this is going to take too long." I'm in the back like, "I need to give my life to Jesus now."
Now.
And you know, in the cartoons, we have like an angel on one side and a demon on another. It was just two demons. There was no angel. It was just two demons like, "Nigga, not today. Like, you won't do it today. Like, do it next week. And you got a porn stash under your mattress and you got to go get rid of that first and then come back next week and then you could do it. And then you boning best friends.
Wow.
You should probably stop that first.
Wow.
If you can." And then, you know what I mean? Like, it was a war. Mm. I now know it to be a war. It was a war. So I'm like, I just kept standing. And every time I got ready to sit down, like, "Yeah, I probably do need to get that porn cleaned up first. And I probably do need to call them and tell them I can't do this no more." The Holy Spirit said, "You won't do nothing you're planning unless you leave
with
me."
That's not what I said. I said, "Come to me." I didn't say do all that.
Nothing you're planning unless you walk out of here with me.
Wow.
So,
my God.
So I'm sitting there.
Thank you, Jesus.
I said, I'm like, "When is this, like, this service?" And my dad stood up and was like, "We're going to have testimony service." I popped up.
He said, me.
Please. And I'm on the back row. So he go from front to back. So I got to stand there. I think out of them five testimonies ahead of me, two was testimonies and three was complaints. You know how them niggas like, be like, it's like okay, first giving honor to God who is the head of my life, saints pray. My AC broke.
Yeah.
And it was so hot in this bunion on my dome.
It's like.
Still ain't left.
You didn't listen to the instruction. What's the testimony?
And I'm just like, please hurry up.
With this foolishness?
Yeah,
I'm trying to get saved.
Yeah, I'm trying to get saved today. Like now right? So that was I think the power of that day, January 14th of 1996. There is no sermon and there is no altar call. The Holy Spirit said, you a sinner. I stood up doing testimony service. When my dad got to me, he was like, I think Tim got something to say. I was like, I give up.
Ooh.
They was like, give up what? I said, I give up whatever. Like, I got to get saved right now. My mama went to Hallelujah.
Oh, I could not imagine.
And we all went to crying.
That made me almost cry.
I gave up. I came down right then and there.
Wow.
Gave my life to Jesus.
Thank
they finished
God.
The rest of the service. My brother Miles and the homie Precise, both who have preceded me in death now, they both gone.
Mm.
They came to pick me up, so we go to Venice Beach.
Wow.
And Miles looked at me, he said, I know my eyes were still kind of red from crying or whatever, but he came to pick me up, he dapped me up. What's up, nigga, you ready to go? Dapped up Precise, Steve, they call him Precise. And he looked at me, he said, oh, nigga, you did. And I said, I did.
Wow.
He said, Nick.
Thank you.
He said, man, that's dope, nigga. That's dope.
Oh.
And Precise was like, what is y'all talking about?
Wow.
And my brother is the one who said it without me even communicating. He said, that nigga gave his life to Jesus.
Wow.
And Precise was like, oh, nigga, that's dope. Like, that's dope. And we hugged. And they jumped in the car and went to Venice. And I jumped in the car with my parents and drove back.
Wow.
70 miles back up to that. To Apple Valley.
Wow.
And in 24 hours, my friends were my Bible, my mama, my daddy, and my PlayStation 1.
Period.
That's all I had.
Period.
Everybody else backed away from me. Not out of like, oh, man.
Yeah.
It was out of respect. It was like.
Natural. Yeah.
You do your thing.
You
do
made
your
that
thing.
Decision.
Do your thing.
We ain't not ready.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like, it was literally like I was going that way. And then on January 14th, 96, I was going this way. And then I preached my first sermon a month later. And that's all I've been doing for almost 30 years. Until last year. So.
And now he has one of the number one podcasts in the world. Y'all know we're number one. Still competitive about that. <I'm just kidding.
laughs> Y'all can have it.
No,
I'll be one.
So
I'll be
kidding.
Two and a half.
We ain't
I'll
even
be
made it to number
seven.
One. I just be trying to manifest.
Make it happen.
With Jesus.
You guys, this episode of In Totality with me, your host, Megan Ashley, is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you do if you had an extra hour in your day? Really, think about it, guys. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Listen, you guys, I have been in therapy for a year, and it has helped me so much. I mean, tremendously, in helping me find what really matters to me the most. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/totality today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/totality. All right, guys, back to the show. All right, guys, before we continue on with this episode, just a quick announcement. Black representation in media is super important to our community as it promotes diversity, challenges stereotypes, and allows for more authentic storytelling. It helps foster a sense of belonging and can positively impact societal perceptions and breaking down biases. Tabitha Brown, Ava DuVernay, Viola Davis, Issa Rae all have made significant contributions to film, television, and media, paving the way for more diversity and inclusion. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR.
Each of NPR's Black voices are distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories and Black truths. I recently listened to an episode entitled A Taste of Freedom. This episode talks about Juneteenth and the day that the enslaved Texans found out more than 2 years after Emancipation Day that they were free. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcast that center Black voices. It's NPR's Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices that are varied, nuanced, and Black. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts. All right, guys, back to the show.
I think I love the,
and I've heard this story so often because I genuinely listen to you often. And
that's cool.
I think what's so powerful is just like it didn't take all the hoopla. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say hoopla like it's not necessary or
that's some people's experience.
Yeah.
But like when you take the emotionalism out of it.
It was a cold calculated decision.
You know what I'm saying? Like there is no, there's no worship song revving you up.
Right, exactly.
There's no,
yeah.
There wasn't a message that convicted something yeah. in you. Mm-hmm. Like it was purely
the Holy Spirit.
Him.
Yeah.
And it was purely a decision.
Yep, absolutely.
Not based on any other influence but him.
Yep.
And I think that that is just a beautiful thing that you can, that people can also experience.
Absolutely.
That. It doesn't have to be the way that maybe we have like made it be in church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was the same for my brother too. My brother gave his life to Jesus, Miles. He gave his life to Jesus 2 years before he died. He died in a car accident.
Wow.
He was single auto accident, died instantly.
Wow.
He gave his life to Jesus at 2 o'clock in the morning, drinking a 40 ounce of beer.
Mm-hmm.
This nigga was chilling on the couch.
Minding his business.
Tossing a 40. And he just started thinking about
God.
God. While this is happening, my dad worked nights historically for the U.S. Postal Service. So while this is happening, my dad's at work. He has a little cell phone, it's flip, right? It's that cell phone.
With the antenna.
Flip, right? Yeah. And he kept the cell phone in the car because who calling that on the night shift, right? My mom had the landlines,
for sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. To the,
people don't know about those.
Right?
What?
So the Holy Spirit tells him at the same time my brother's drinking this 40, go get your cell phone and turn it on.
Mm.
And he's like, for what? He said, go get your cell phone and turn it on. So my dad goes out to the car, presses power. It lights up. As soon as it lights up, it rings.
Mm.
Like within seconds of it having a connection.
Woo.
It rings. It's Miles. Miles, dad. Hey, son, is everything okay? Yeah. Do I have to wait till Sunday to get saved? He said, no, son. Romans 10:9.
Bro, I'm on my way.
He said, Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. He said, oh, yeah, I forgot. He hung up the phone, gave his life to Jesus, and finished his 40.
I know that's right.
It wasn't like, then he tossed it down the sink.
And that's
we
how
fell down and we got
up.
No, that nigga finished that 40.
I love this.
And then that was the last 40.
And that's
40.
How I be with
and
my
that
mouth
was
and
the
my
last
cussing. 40.
That was the last 40. Ooh. He finished it, though.
How would it be when Christians be like, why are you cussing? Why you give me a second?
Uh-oh.
Or don't.
Uh-oh.
What do you think about that?
Well.
Oh, I have a lot of thoughts. I have a lot of thoughts on that.
Because Tim was recently canceled or tried to be canceled. They tried to cancel me.
Yeah. They cannot listen to me. What they can't do is cancel me.
Come on.
They didn't call me. Ooh. If they didn't call me, they can't cancel me.
If you didn't call me, you cannot cancel me. You can't stop nothing.
So I don't debate nobody. Yeah. People are entitled to their opinions. Yeah. But I know who I'm talking to. Mm-hmm. And for the people that already believe in Jesus and they are anchored in their salvation, beautiful. The people that believe that they have the parameters on how they need to live their life and express their faith, amen. Mm-hmm. There are some intangibles about scripture that are irrefutable and undisputable. Mm-hmm. As it relates to salvation and a host of other things mm-hmm. of how we should live our life. Mm-hmm. On the stuff that's murky and the stuff that's kind of like, it's more translucent than it is transparent. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to fight with you about it.
I'm not doing that.
Do you?
So what was
because if my salvation ain't caught up in it,
I bet you it ain't. I bet you it ain't.
Tim is like us in the sense of expression. And like for me, I kind of go and I go back and forth with like how I want to present myself on this platform in the sense of cussing because in my natural state, I am my father's child. Mm-hmm. I am Charles Christian Marbury's twin.
Mm-hmm. My daddy's name is Charles.
Really? That's not my father's
name. Charles Edward Ross.
And he is a cusser.
Uh-huh.
All the time. Mm-hmm.
Got you.
Every
other
word.
Yeah.
And I have adopted a lot of that language, you know, because I am a lot like my dad. Mm-hmm. And myself, and the closer I get to God, that... And I am someone who feels conviction.
Yeah.
I have never been convicted about cussing.
Yeah, me either.
I've been convicted about how much of it we do on here. Mm-hmm. I have been.
Yeah.
But I have never been convicted in my personal life about cussing. Nor can I say now, I would never cuss.
Yeah, I would never do that.
I've been convicted about it in a certain way.
Right.
Like certain things I would have said, like, man, I'm gonna say it. I was fucking this nigga. I would never say that on the mic now.
Right.
Yeah.
In that way.
Right.
Like, I'm like, bitch.
Right.
Or fuck.
Yes.
So I'm convicted about using that language in a certain
in
way.
In a profound intention.
Like, girl, his dick was big. I wouldn't say that right now on the mic. You know, but 2 years ago, Simone would have said it.
Yeah, for sure.
You get what I'm saying? Six months ago.
Yeah, for sure, I would have said it too.
And wouldn't have felt no
Go
type
look
of way.
At our podcast.
Go watch it.
We're a year and a half in, and we were talking about sucking dick, dildos, cussing, bitches.
And God. Yep.
Well, the beauty of that, though, is that you were... That the beauty of y'all not... deleting those episodes.
100% not.
Is because we get to see an evolution.
Yes. Right.
We get to see you all evolve.
Yes.
We get to see how you change over the years.
You get to see that Jesus is needed.
Absolutely, right?
Like, you know what I mean?
There's
like,
a grace on the pathway for every step of our life. If we're not given permission to even stumble along the path, figure out where the footing needs to be. Mm-hmm. Realize, I don't need to talk like that no more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's kind of crass, low-key, in hindsight.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't have said that like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if we don't get to see that evolve, then what we have is what most
I'm so sorry.
What is wrong?
Did you just get a cramp? Did you just get a cramp?
It's not a cramp, but it hurts.
What is it?
I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. Okay. What is it?
I'm trying not to laugh.
It's okay. What
is it?
It's
just tight.
Okay, so you have a Charlie horse. It's fine. So just stretch it out as much. Let me see.
Oh.
It's okay.
Okay.
Is it in the ball?
I'm so sorry, Tim. It's right here.
Lay hands on it. Ooh, go ahead. Lay hands on it, Megan. Now do what you couldn't do before. Do what you, do what you couldn't do before now. Gotta take a step.
Tim, please.
On the third step, God's going to do something. One, two.
It can't go any further.
Unloose it.
Okay, I'll just.
Just kind of a little bit of this. You got a Charlie horse.
And you need to drink some water.
Yeah.
Drink that water. It's not going to happen instantly, so but your body needs.
Yeah.
Have you ever had Charlie horse? I don't know if this is that. Because I try to put
my maybe it's foot a donkey
up, and then horse. Something happened, so I put it back down.
It sounds like a Charlie horse. Okay. It sounds like a Charlie donkey. You want to say ass?
Donkey.
Is that what you want to say, Tim?
Donkey.
You want to say Charlie ass. Charlie That's donkey. What you want to say.
It's King James.
This hurts.
I can say.
So bad.
I'm so it's sorry. Still hurting?
It hurts. I feel so like I was sorry. Working out and I just, something just happened to my foot.
I'm so sorry.
It's fine.
Like you
it's...
twisted it. Or.
If you yes. float off that chair, though, I'm a pee. Because you look like you was levitating for me. For sure. Like,
please keep going with the conversation. I'm just going to roll it.
Just keep. Okay. I'm just going to roll it. Slow like mm-hmm. this, but drink slow. Lots of that.
Okay. Yeah, drink the water. Don't sip it.
This
drink
is embarrassing.
Just do this. It happens.
It does happen.
I never had it. A Charlie this... horse in my foot, but.
I said, ow.
It was great. And it's staying.
But it's like.
All yes, of this is staying. Has to. Exactly like it is.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. Just keep.
Ooh, this.
Is it coming? Is it releasing?
It went from a 10 to a 6.
Okay, there we go.
Okay,
there we go.
Good.
There we're in. That's
see,
it. We're
guys are already moving.
Okay.
See? Amen. Two more minutes. It's going to be at a 1.5.
I just performed my first miracle.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
You put your hand on that ankle, babe.
I said, release.
You said, release.
Release
come
it.
Out of her foot.
I'm
it's got to go. Amen. Okay, we're sorry.
Where did we no, put a pin in good. It?
What were we talking about?
Cussing.
Oh.
Cussing.
So here's what happens.
Thank you.
Here's what happens when.
I'm sorry, y'all.
If we're not able to go on a journey,
mm-hmm.
you know what happens? We wind up like most Christians now.
Thank you.
With very curated
mm-hmm.
versions of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not.
Like it ain't even biblical.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
biblical has the Bible has zero chill on how it presents everybody in the yeah. Bible. It's like introducing Adam and Eve. Mm. They fell.
David.
Introducing Cain and Abel. Mm-hmm. Murder.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Introducing humanity. They need yeah. to be drowned. Introducing Abram.
Liar.
Introducing Lot. His daughters turned that nigga out.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Got him drunk and got pregnant by him.
Yep.
Wow.
That's where the Canaanites and the Moabites come from.
Jesus.
So yeah. if the Bible has zero chill in yeah. the editing.
Yeah.
Why?
Then why are we trying to go back and scrub these sections of our life, mm-hmm. just sections
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
we're moving through.
Mm-hmm.
But people will literally take a snapshot when it's literally just a scene in a movie.
Mm.
Nobody told you to pause. Mm. It's a freaking scene.
It's wow.
Wow.
Y'all remember DVDs?
I love that.
And you can skip and go to yeah. chapters.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I need to see
yeah.
the action scene again. I want to go mm-hmm. to chapter 9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And it'll take you straight to that section.
Yeah. Yep.
When people try to freeze frame a moment of your life.
Yep.
And then make commentary around that moment.
My yep. God.
As if it's not a moment, but now it's a monument.
Mmm.
So these niggas made reaction videos off wow. of me cussing.
Wow.
As if that's who I am.
In totality. Yeah.
In totality.
Like, yeah.
That was a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a moment.
Yeah.
And you so mad that I was cussing that you didn't want to address why I cussed.
You missed the whole why.
You missed the whole why.
Yeah.
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 And I do think that
but
there has to be a
balance. But you finished Game of Thrones, though.
Ooh.
You finished Peaky Blinders. You finished Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You finished Family Guy. Like stop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just stop.
The moment you came to a chapter that yeah. you didn't like.
Yeah, yeah.
You said, I'm throwing that away.
The,
I don't
the
like
whole
it.
Movie has to be over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, just let it keep.
Yeah, let the movie go to
let
the end. And then
play.
The credits can roll and all that kind
yeah.
of stuff.
Guess what? You didn't write it. You didn't write it,
I
so you don't know what's
you
next.
You don't know what's yeah. next.
Because you didn't write it.
Yeah.
No, you don't even know the intent of the director.
Know. Yeah.
Because you
yeah.
didn't write it.
No. And you don't do this. How about that? How about if you don't play basketball?
Come on.
And have never played basketball.
Come on.
Don't become
a basketball critiquer.
Not a critic. You can be a
critic.
Sports writer,
or whatever.
But a critic? And you didn't do
no.
this?
No.
You don't get to do that.
Yeah.
You get to shut up.
I need you to get some lights.
Ooh, get a mic.
Get a mic.
Be consistent every week for two
keep
years.
Putting out, keep talking and see if you don't talk yourself into a bear trap. I dare you to try. I'm talking about with authenticity and vulnerability. For sure. I'm not talking about this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Look, praise the Lord, sisters. I'm so happy to be here with you all on the Know For Sure podcast. Yeah. I've been praying for you.
Yeah.
I really believe God's going to do something some great special things with this platform. Listen, I just want to pray now. I came with a word, and I believe it's going to work. See, the reason why the enemy locked your foot up is because he doesn't want you to take your next step. But be Simone, I'm telling you, be Simone. Because the next step you're going to take, you're going to possess the land, honey. I wish I had a witness.
The enemy locked your foot up. For sure. And then
he's got a baby's mama.
Ooh.
And watch his Pornhub.
Ooh.
Because he can't be honest about all sections of his life. So we have all these disintegrated people making comments about people that are trying to be integrated and show all of who they are, which takes bravery.
Bravery.
And vulnerability.
People have no idea the bravery.
No idea.
What? You have no idea the bravery. So, you have zero and it's messy. Clue it, the bravery.
This is as messy as the Bible we read.
Yes, ooh. Tim.
But you want this scrubbed version that don't exist on the pages of the Bible.
Yeah. But then quote Psalms. But then you'll quote
the nigga that murdered Uriah to get his wife. You quote that dude.
You quote that dude, but cancel me?
Yeah, that part.
Wow.
That part.
That's
deep. You steady quoting Corinthians. And Paul had niggas murdered.
Paul was murdering Christians by the thousands.
Wow.
But you talk about freaking.
And here's the retort. Here's the retort from the peanut gallery. The retort from the peanut gallery is, but they repented.
Were you there?
Okay. All right. Okay.
Were you there?
So. Yeah, if you say so.
And give me a second. Just let God work.
Yeah, let me.
Lord.
Let me.
Want us to be Mother Teresa?
Yeah. Like we've been doing it 10 years.
I'm not going to the mountain and I'm not doing that now. I don't know what you expect from somebody who gives their life to Christ. What you expect that to look like across the board? Or what you expect people's walk to be across the board? Or people's journey to be across the board? Fortunately, honestly, because it's a part of our purpose, y'all just seeing ours on camera.
Yeah. That's it.
You get what I'm saying? Y'all are just seeing.
And he told us to do it.
But he told us
you think that we would want to do this?
Did nobody sign up for this.
Like, first of all, her first response was no.
A hell no. It wasn't even a no. It was a hell no. No, no, no.
Yeah. I said no 4 times.
Why would we say no?
Yeah, I said no 4 times.
Absolutely not. I said, well, this is what we're doing.
The LLC is already in progress. So you're
doing it. And your owner.
And you're doing it. So there we go.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Y'all are just seeing us on this walk with Christ publicly. Yeah. And mind you, you're still seeing a small percentage of it.
That's right.
You're not seeing us repent.
Yeah, for sure.
In the corner,
absolutely.
Weeping on the floor. Yeah, you're not seeing convicted. Us in therapy sessions, working on our best friend relationship, trying to get that together so
that we can be the best for y'all.
The best for y'all.
And show up the way God called us to do it.
Do what God called us to do.
You have no idea.
You have no idea.
Yeah.
You're seeing a small percent of it on camera. You know what I mean? You're not even seeing the depths of what this walk really genuinely looks like.
And the audacity of you to think that you have some sort of equity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In us or in what we're doing to have an opinion about how we do it and how God develops it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get offended when I see people do stuff like that when I know what's attached to people's lives who say yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm offended by that because you don't know what my children sacrificed for this.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. For you to be so offended.
Yeah,
for you
for
to
sure.
have such an opinion.
Yep.
For you to be so critical.
Yep.
You have no idea what's attached to us that gets affected by our yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, and instead of praying, you get on camera.
Then pray for us then.
A camera.
Yeah.
And you think the fivefold ministry includes criticism.
Mm-hmm.
I must have missed it. I must have missed it. Because if truth is truth, truth will stand.
Oh, for sure.
You don't need to prove me wrong to prove truth is right.
No. Yeah.
Say you're just speak say the truth.
Yeah, just speak truth.
You don't need to get on a camera and play my clip and break down what I said to make your truth truth.
Yeah.
Well, just say your truth.
Well, you know, I already told the people that make content off my content, just thank me at least.
Yeah.
Like, because I know I paid your car note.
Yeah.
Or your rent.
Yeah.
Or something.
Or at this point, invite me over there.
Or just buy me a bottle of Hall.
Something.
2016.
Yep.
Well, I remember when I was a lead pastor, I was a lead pastor for 7 years. So when I was a lead pastor, and this was, I started in 2015. September 2015 is when we planted the church. So Preachers of LA was out at that time. And there were some people that came up to me and they were like, have you seen this show, Preachers of LA? It is so just ratchet and terrible. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. It's embarrassing to the body of Christ. And I said, I hope it gets 10 seasons. Mm. And they were like, what? I said, oh, absolutely. I hope it gets 10 seasons. Mm-hmm. And they were like, why? I said, because it'll make it, if it gets 10 seasons and it's a very prominent show, then it would be, I won't have to spend as much time explaining what kind of church we are when people walk in the door because they would have already had a comparative analysis.
Wow.
I ain't got to get up in the pulpit and say, we ain't preachers of LA around here. Oh, we do it right. No, the only thing I got to do is be the opposite of what that just is. And people will be like, oh.
Yeah.
But think about it. For all of that yapping, the community and the platform that God has given you is because of your authenticity.
100%.
And your vulnerability.
100%.
That's not a liability.
100%.
Here's what I realized. I can't speak for everybody because these people have strong convictions. They love God and they actually think they're defending him.
But,
the majority of them think they're defending him just like the Pharisees did.
That's what I'm saying. But you're...
Have you been dreaming of starting a podcast just like this one and you haven't been able to figure out how to do it? Don't let the fear of the unknown stop you from using your voice, your story, and your expertise in your field to impact the world. I'm Carla Womaris, and I have helped over 800 people that look and sound just like us launch their own podcast. I'm also the producer of the Know For Sure podcast and many of your favorite pods. I have a special offer for the Know For Sure listeners. 50% off my signature course, Launch Your Podcast in 30 Days, is the exact same blueprint and formula that I used to launch and produce Know For Sure. You'll learn how to go from idea to launch in 30 days, including recording, editing, publishing your show to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, and all the platforms. And of course, how to monetize your show. Visit ideatolaunchpodcast.com today and use code KFS50 for the self-paced course. I'm looking forward to welcoming you to the Idea to Launch podcast family.
Your sinning against God in the name of God. And that's the thing that bothers me.
That's the incongruency, right? That they can't see.
Right.
Because but they're on their little...
The Pharisees. Think that you're defending the faith.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're offending the one who loves the person that you're criticizing.
Absolutely.
That is an offense to God.
It is. Mm. It is. And they can't see that.
And you think that it's right and it's not.
Exactly. Mm.
That's the one he loves.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah.
And I have a really, I have a big problem with these Christian critiquers that are on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's something that I need to change or, but I don't, I wholeheartedly disagree with it.
Well, okay. So here's, I'll give you the perspective I've grown to, because I had to deal with the brunt of it when I first came. I'm like, I don't know nothing about this landscape, so I didn't know how mean people were and how much how low their biblical IQ actually is. Because I'm like, y'all actually think
that this is right.
You have Bible for this and you don't, right? Mm-hmm. So what I realize is, because I see everything in pictures. The Bible's a pop-up book to me.
Mm-hmm.
People think I have like, oh man, you know so much scripture. It's not that I know it so much as that I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I watch the Bible. I don't read it. Like, you know what I mean? I pick up the Bible, I start reading it, and I'm watching the whole thing. I'm watching a movie. So what I realize is that everywhere Jesus went, he had an audience that he was talking to, right? His primary his target audience, just like y'all have a target audience, yep. His target audience is the lost sheep of Israel. That's who he comes for. He ain't coming for nobody else. His audience that he's talking to is the lost sheep of Israel. Well, guess who's also there? Pharisees. So as he's talking to his audience, the Pharisees is like, but, well, another thing, you said that wrong, and do you know? And he's like, I didn't come for people who, I came for people who are sick, not for people that think they're well. So I'm not talking to you.
I'm not talking to you.
But, no, not but, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm not talking to you, and I know you're not leaving. So Jesus became consciously aware that I'm talking to an audience and they will also always be present. They're not going anywhere. So instead of always having something to say, because think about it, at that point he would be speaking two messages all the time. One for his primary audience and then one for his secondary audience. We ain't got time for
saying
all that.
Saying it like this and trying to say it No, this is the message.
This is the message. And the people that I'm actually talking to, my audience, they're going to receive it. And these people are never going to accept it.
No matter how I say it.
If I exegetically broke it down to be like, here's what I meant when I said
this.
The reason why that F-bomb was dropped is because I got so passionate about people in church manipulating people to stay in marriages that are abusive that I did not want to say it was egregious. I have the word in my vocabulary.
But I didn't want
to
use it.
It has a lot of syllables. But effed up sounded better.
Because
that's more indigenous to who I am on the inside. Right. That nigga in me thinks that's effed up. He doesn't think it's an atrocity. Although it is. At a base level, nigga.
I love that.
It's effed up.
He doesn't think it's an atrocity.
It is an atrocity.
Right.
My vocabulary is extensive.
Right.
But effed up cuts, it encompasses all of it, right? Now, if you don't like the fact I use the word, cool. But to say I'm a Miss Heaven over a word that's not 500 years old
is wild.
Is dumb. When all language is simply a matter of who won the last war. If Scotland would have won, England,
it might have been a little different.
We'd be saying all types of words.
But you made a clear distinction on what a curse word is and what a cuss word is. Everybody's saying I'm cursing. Down?
Yeah, so a curse is you going to die later today.
Rebuke that, send that back to the pit. Booyah,
right? Don't you and that was a hypothetical. And you like Shandada, Hoya, Yaga. And you was ready to Gargamel the thing down. You was ready to la 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 la. That's a hypothetical, right? That's a curse.
That's a curse.
That's a curse.
What came on Balaam was a result of him trying to curse. He was hired to curse the Israelites, not to cuss them. We're talking about words?
Yeah.
Do not let filthy communication come out of your mouth. Now, other people interpret it different.
Yes.
We talking about interpretations, which everybody has.
Yeah.
I got friends that speak in tongues. I got friends that can't get a shay-la-la-la out their mouth. Never will. They don't have a starter kit tongue. They can say Roku. It could be a TV or a starter tongue. They don't know which one it is. They don't know which one to do. Okay? I got people that baptize in Jesus' name. I got people that baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
These are interpretations.
Lord have mercy.
Church of God in Christ is Trinitarian. Pentecostal Assemblies of the World is Jesus only.
Right.
Ain't nobody going to hell over with which one? It's your interpretation. When I read scripture that talks about do not use profane words and don't use filthy communication, it's talking about lying and slander. And backbiting and gossiping.
Ooh, so we've been cursing each other out.
I bet you have.
What?
I have been cussed out worse by Christians who have never used the seven deadly words on the list never come close to an F, an H, an MF, an A, ho, or anything else, but have literally torn me down to the point that I had to go to therapy for the church hurt.
Wow.
I wish you would have just cussed me out.
At this point, I
would have took the cuss out.
I would have rather.
Just call me a B.
I would rather.
Then the manipulative rebuke you gave from the pulpit, trying to say it was a word from the Lord, but you talking to me. It's 8,000 niggas in the room. You just talking to me. Lord, tell me offline.
Tell me offline.
So you did worse than cuss me. You tried to curse me.
Wow.
And then throw God's name on it.
Throw God's name on it. That drives me.
That is
insane. Yeah.
It's crazy.
And I know what you're talking about because I worked for a pastor who used to rebuke me from the pulpit without saying my name. And you're talking about something specifically that only me and you know what it's about. But you couldn't pull me to the side and disciple me and have a hard conversation. So you weaponized the platform.
That's right. Because you can't stand confrontation.
And you are weaponizing your position. Absolutely and it's abuse. Correct. It's spiritual abuse.
It's absolutely spiritual abuse.
And it's happening
all the time. I understand the landscape now, and I'm like, oh, I get what y'all doing. But here's the thing. People would rather comment than converse.
Mm-hmm. Ooh-wee. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And people would rather diatribe than dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you pulled anybody from the comment section, take your most vitriol comment mm-hmm. and invited them on the platform, one or two things would happen. First, they would outright say, I ain't coming.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I don't fellowship. The Bible says, don't fellowship with the ratchet. And I'm like, yeah, that ain't in there either, sis. Like, you know what I mean? Like, or two, when they get on here.
It would be different. A total different energy. Different.
It's hard to be that bouted up close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is.
Them thumbs is courageous.
It's like, yeah, if you're doing that, listen, you're going to fight.
Them thumbs is courageous as hell.
Courageous.
The moment you like, hey, can we have a conversation? There was one dude. He put out some content about me. I DM'd him. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, bro.
For sure.
What'd you say to him?
Hey, bro.
I said, hey, bro. Seems like you had a little problem with what I put out there.
Yeah.
I said, want to have a conversation about it? He's like, no. I wasn't trying to get after you, bro. I just put stuff out for people to converse. I said, but you made a piece of content about my content, and I want you to have context.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my number.
Call me.
Well, I don't get off till 5.
Yep.
And so I have.
Not I don't get off. It's like, all right.
Most people I comment about don't have time. Nigga, I got time.
Yeah.
I got time.
Time.
I bet you I got time.
Time.
So I get on the phone with him.
On the phone with him.
It sounded like, I'm talking about from the time I said hello.
Mm.
It sounded like he put 5 scoops of peanut butter on the roof of his mouth and ran a mile. It was the clammiest dry mouth.
For sure.
Hey, man.
Nervous.
That moist, all of that clamminess was happening on the phone. And I was like, bro, I just want to make sure. I said, I hope I didn't come off like, I'm not like running up on you.
There's
nothing to run up on.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to make sure you had context. You think that I was saying that I was leading a church while addicted to porn. That's not what I said.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what I meant. But for sure, I was preaching Jesus while a porn addict.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like I was straight up masturbating and ejaculating to pornographic material.
Right.
Saying I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
For like 4 days and then had a word to break.
Mm.
I'm so sorry that's the truth.
Mm.
But Joyce Meyer was also going through a pack of cigarettes while doing Bible study when she first gave her life to Jesus.
Yeah.
There was an evolution, fam.
Yeah.
Stop hating
it. It's not happening now.
Yeah.
But to say it never happened would be incongruent and a lie
about my journey.
I have nothing. I don't have a reputation to save.
Yeah.
I don't have a reputation to uphold.
Yeah.
In the same way Jesus thought of himself as no reputation and took off glory and put on humanity to come down with us to understand us. And then I'm going front to you.
No.
You?
No, Lord, it's not going to happen, fam. And you want this curated, polished thing. But you probably got some dark corners as well, because we all do.
We all do.
And instead of just bringing that to the light and just saying it ain't all good and cute yet.
Yeah.
You wanna act like don't do. And so the Jesus police feel like any shred of vulnerability is a threat to people's Christianity.
Wow.
The stumbling block.
The stumbling block.
And I really, Jen, right? Is it Jen?
Uh-huh.
I really want to get Jen on the podcast because she's a therapist.
Bring her out. Bring her out.
And she's a therapist and she has her doctor, right?
Yeah, she does.
And she is a Christian and saved, but she also understands the mind.
Yeah.
Yep.
And brings so much practical relevancy to how we experience the human experience and then your Christian faith experience. Okay. And she's just brilliant. I love listening to your conversations.
Yeah, she's dope.
But
she's on your pod?
Yeah, she's on my pod.
She's came on a few times. I love her.
She's a guest.
She was a
guest. It's only you and Preston for...
No, Preston is... I'm sorry. Preston has his own podcast, but
The Leader's Cut.
Okay. And Preston's phenomenal. You need to see his stuff. His stuff is phenomenal. But... the way that you guys talked about the stumbling block and how, and I put this in our notes because I do want to tackle this because it was a conversation I heard you and Jen talk about that I think is important, is like the church fragility.
Yeah, church fragility. Okay.
And too, it's a culture fragility too. It's not just church.
That's
church,
right. It's culture. It's a culture of fragility. So let's deal with the fact that when you decide to lead with vulnerability, because vulnerability is my superpower, right? The narrative I had before going to EMDR was that vulnerability was dangerous.
Mm.
Because at 8 years old, I had to make a decision not to expose my molester because it would mean the explosion of my family.
Mm. Wow.
Vulnerability is dangerous. My dad's going to kill him. My brother's going to bury him. My mom's going to be brokenhearted for the rest of her life. Well, that narrative made me stay silent about my trauma and about the pain that I experienced. Mm-hmm. So I was actually protecting my abuser.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All right, you guys, I know this conversation is getting good, but stay right there. Y'all gonna have to get the rest of this next week, y'all.
Part two. With Tim Ross. Now, there really needs to be like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 parts.
At this point,
parts.
You just need to be a part of the podcast.
Yeah. But we're going to give you guys a part two, so you don't want to miss out. Make sure your post notifications are on. Mm-hmm. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week for part two. Bye.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Know For Sure podcast. Make sure you keep the conversation going and use our hashtag KnowForSurePod.
Yes, we want to see you guys share the hashtag KnowForSurePod on all social media platforms. We want to keep the conversation going.
And follow us on all social media platforms, Instagram and Twitter, KnowForSurePod.